Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
From La Cocina Studios, it's 130...
Why did you do that?
It doesn't sound right. I don't know. It just doesn't... Sounds weird. It sounded so well when you used to do the live from...
Well, it's live to them.
What difference does it make if it's not live? I mean, we're not actually in a studio.
That way we actually have a difference when we are live. I don't know. I guess we'll start over.
What was the intro when we first did this?
Hello and welcome everyone to Houston Wrestling. Yeah. That's it.
Let's that one off. Rannigan.
That doesn't have an episode number, so are you going to whine and bitch about that?
No.
No?
I probably will.
Alright.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't do episode numbers on Pop Culture Rewind.
Yes, you do.
Oh, no.
Well, at least you label them whenever you...
I label them, but when I do the intros, I don't say episode number or whatever. We actually joked about it a couple episodes ago. Is it episode 25, 26? 20? I don't even know. Okay. Just keep on.
Yeah, whatever.
But, because we're unstructured and organized. But...
Yeah. Filthy swine.
Yes. I've been called worse. It's alright.
Alright, let's here we go. So, trying to now y'all got me thrown off.
Don't be a boss. We're trying to help you.
Oh, thank you. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. You sweaty son of a bitch.
It's hot in here, man.
Look, I'll be
all right. I guess we're
Whitey,
not starting.
Whitey!
Hey, you're starting it down for you.
Whitey!
Whitey bastard.
I'm just made that way. Don't worry.
Which, by the way, I'm glad I got him because I just noticed that we're not plugged in, so we might lose battery.
Oh, yeah, we should probably plug in. That would help.
That's what we get for relying on Chris to set everything up. Fools.
Plugging in the laptop, doop, doop, doop.
Have you been playing anything on the Xbox?
Nope.
No hesitation.
It's my $400 paperweight.
Nah, I was telling that to Lisa. Like, that's the most expensive Blu-ray player I've ever bought.
Okay. Shall we?
I might get an Xbox One now that it's backwards compatible.
And don't fall for it. It's not...
It's not?
No?
Don't fall for it.
Well, why it's not?
Why are they saying it?
Oh, I guess we could do B-roll now, then.
Well, I didn't know it was recording, so yeah.
We've been recording this entire time!
So...
See, it's a good thing we're not live now, ain't it, bitch?
I know, right?
You're only able to play the games that are already saved on your profile. So, like, if you have achievements for, like, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, you can put it in your... You can put your copy in the disc... And it'll download it's supposed to download an emulator that recognizes what you've already
had. For the stuff you already have.
For what's already had. Like, I can't, and then even then, there's like all verification, confirmation, and then you still have to have the disc in the drive.
Well, my main concern is I still have my save files on a 360 for Mass Effect. If I have that, they can transfer that over to the Xbox One, and then I could play all that.
Probably not the save file, though.
No.
No? Well, then, fuck that shit.
The only thing that would be worse backwards compatible is if you bought stuff on the Xbox Store to download. Then you can automatically download those.
You had that, because that was one thing you got pissed off about.
Yeah, but they're not going to be for the old arcade games. Like, The Simpsons Arcade, no. Ninja Turtles, no. X-Men, no.
Dude, what the hell?
Scott Pilgrim?
There's a list where you can vote the games that you want added, and if there's enough votes, or if it's not already added on the official list, they might upload it. But it isn't like, I can buy an old 360 game, put it in the player, like a Wii. Like, I can get a Wii game, put it in the Wii U, 3 seconds, I'm already playing.
Right.
No bullshit. There's the Xbox stuff. It's not really genuine backwards compatible.
Okay. Mm. Well, I'm glad you told me that because I was actually thinking about buying it.
Yeah. Xbox One because of that. Give it time. Wait till by the end of the year. If they've updated it to where you can play anything, it might be worth it to you.
Yeah.
But even if the main thing you want is to download old files, like I had to do Walking Dead over again from the second episode. It didn't transfer over my first season stuff from the 360. So
that sucks. Mm.
Yeah.
Hey, so since we're recording for B-roll, did you watch the Kimbo Shamrock fight?
All 3 minutes of it.
I just watched the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had no interest in seeing it. Like,
it was everything I thought it was going to be.
Disappointing?
No, quick. Shamrock took Slice down because Kimbo has no wrestling experience.
But he beat him.
You put him in a rear naked choke and Kimbo powered out of it, actually. That was the most entertaining part of it.
Powered out of it. Air quotes.
Yeah, everybody's saying that it's a work.
I don't know about that.
I missed it. Well, fortunately, I missed it, I guess. I don't know. But it seems like, from what the reports I'm seeing, it's like he let him go.
Slice's shoulders are too broad for Shamrock to hold it that long. And when he started rolling around, that's probably where he lost his grip. Because Slice is wider build than Shamrock.
Here's the thing about Shamrock, dude. Every time I see him like come back as a comeback fighter or whatever, he always loses. Like, I haven't seen him win a match.
No, he should have stopped when they aired that Ultimate Fighter special where Cheeto Ortiz beat Shamrock in the first round and then did this thing with like pretending that he
didn't.
That's when he should have stopped fighting. That was like 9 years ago. That's when he should have stopped fighting.
Well, that was Shamrock's first return to UFC.
Yeah, that should have been his only return.
That feud with him and Chico. Yeah. So
Chico.
That's what I said, Chico. Yeah. So yeah, that was the first feud on that. So I don't know why he just. Ever since then, he hasn't won anything, I don't think. If he has, I don't know what
he
is.
I don't know.
For nostalgia purposes, is there any reason why any wrestling company should hire him for one more wrestling match? Or at least
I think TNA's hiring.
Hell, they let Flair wrestle till he was like, 103. Why not?
They literally put him in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
TNA presents Murder Ball with Ric Flair. Yeah, and then he powered out. And then
the Death on the Mountain match.
As soon as they stood up, Kimbo knocked them one right in the side of the right side of the face. Shamrock dropped.
I heard Frank Shamrock still fights. Like he's really doing a little good on the Showtime. Whoever does Showtimes, yeah. I'm not sure. Strikeforce.
But that fizzled out by UFC years ago.
So that's not something I've seen a Shamrock fight. That's not Strikeforce.
No, it gets worse. They're trying to do a nostalgia match between Ken Shamrock. Hoist Gracie.
The way you said that, it's like now I'm thinking it's like a new division. Like,
no,
like instead of like featherweight and bantamweight, it's gonna be nostalgia weights.
No, it'll be Jared Tall weights.
Yeah. The AARP division.
You know what the sick part
TNA?
Is?
What?
You know what the sick part is? I'd actually watch that. Hoist Gracie, Ken Shamrock, 15 minutes of
get off my lawn.
That's how I fight.
Usually, like,
that's how I fight.
Yeah. Take a hose with you in the ring. And all right.
That's my accessory.
Okay. Should we actually start the show?
Triple H has a sledgehammer. I got a hose.
So did the Godfather.
That's a different kind of hose.
Well placer, I think. I'm not really sure, but okay.
That's a very different hose.
We're already going to lose Chris. Okay.
All right.
That's a nice way to, like, that's where you stop recording, right there.
Right
that's
there.
Where
yeah, yeah.
That's where the editing is done.
This is a reverse episode.
Tarantino, you get the end first, and then we're building up to the end.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. All right. From La Cocina Studios, it's the 138th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
Oh, Jesus. Chris, do you need some more halls?
Pop another one.
Okay.
How's everybody? For the working man.
For the working man who strains out his own throat going to all these live events and concerts.
Dude, that was like a month ago. Get over it.
This is how awesome Chris's life is, that his throat is hoarse every weekend because he's always going to something new. Right, Chris? Or are you just an asshole? I think it's the second thing. I think it's just that Chris is an asshole. That's what it is.
Yeah, that one. Do you remember when I wasn't an asshole?
No, I know.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
This guy. Alright.
This guy over here.
We got a live one today, folks.
We gotta make up for the lack of show.
Yes. This week, I don't know. There were some good things.
You're gonna keep all this?
I suppose. We could start again.
No,
no. Okay. This week, we have some interesting things that happen, especially Lucha Underground. But we've given up on watching TNA.
We say that so happily.
Yeah, we watched Ring of Honor, but they also had a pay per view. So I think Chris, you were the only one to actually watch that. So we'll get to that. There are some things that happened on WWE this past week. We'll get to those as well. More developing things for the pay per view that's coming up in a few weeks. So all that being said, where do we want to start?
How about NXT?
All right, let's go down to the neighborhood. NXT, okay. What happened? What do we want to talk about?
Okay, let's get to it. Owens, Samoa Joe.
All right, Owens, Samoa Joe. Disappointing, I'd say.
He just took a breath like he was trying not to cough. Like,
Yeah, you should try doing that every so often.
You're jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
All right.
So
I thought the match was disappointing.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just a feeling out process. They didn't know.
It's been forever since Joe and Owens wrestled. So yeah, feeling out process.
Yeah, right. And I don't know. I guess they had to do some kind of shenanigans style ending and to pushed off for a later date for a rematch.
But. Right, and I understand that part. Have something funky happen so you could continue the feud. But even before that, the match felt like it was at half speed. It didn't feel like what Joe and Owens could do.
I haven't seen a finish that bad since the debut of the Yeti.
Yeti.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Already reading spoilers before it happened. Weeks ago. It's like, it's too soon for this to happen. And then sprinkling in the stuff that Owens is doing on Raw. It just feels like with all the attention that Owens is getting from both brands, it's like the feud on NXT that we have been looking forward to since Joe debuted isn't getting the attention that it deserves right now.
It's being overshadowed by the Raw stuff. Like, he's more interesting on Raw than he is on NXT.
I'm literally waiting for Owens to drop the belt to Balor in Japan and then him pick up the U.S. title on the pay-per-view and go from there and just be stuck on Raw.
That's a factor of two things. One, that feud he has with Cena on Raw, that's some gold right there.
Yeah, it is.
Secondly, and I saw, and I was thinking about this when I was watching Owens Joe on NXT. I don't see Joe staying around.
Do you think Joe maybe has lost something?
I think I said this a few weeks ago, but I think it's, I don't want to say sabotage, but it's like they're purposely putting him in bad, like, presentation, bad match, like everything. It's an all overall bad presentation. We know what NXT can do for presentation style.
Yeah.
We already talked about the introduction. I don't want to talk about that because that's obvious. But just everything about him, it's just like, if you don't know the guy, like, we're going to see what he's going to, we're going to hear what he's got to say on promos and things like that. We're going to watch a match because we know who Samoa Joe is.
Right.
After show promo from Joe was freaking awesome, though.
Yeah.
There's stuff there that reminds me of why he deserves to be on the roster.
But I don't think he's going to get that from WWE, and I don't think he's going to have the patience to stick around for that. When he can go back to ROH. He can go Impact. He can even go maybe to Lucha or something. He's
Japan.
Yeah, back to Japan. He can do anything really he wants. So why would he want to be
saddled with something?
Saddled with whatever WWE's trying to do for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him being long term.
Now, do you think that is all the fault of WWE, or do you think maybe there's some of that that's actually Joe? Because, we're kind of looking at him through rose-colored glasses, where it's like, oh, Joe versus AJ versus Christopher Daniels, oh, it's so amazing.
My God!
Yeah, but that was Joe 10 years ago? Maybe Joe has actually lost a couple of steps along the way.
Watch it now. Chris is about to jump up and hit you in the face.
Chris, do you think that's the case?
I think from what we saw in first glance, it has a lot of weight. I mean,
he does have a lot of weight, but what are you trying to say?
Joe debuting and already sticking him with Owens, even for me as a fan, that was a bad call. Entrance music, whatever feud's going on. It doesn't help that Sami Zayn and Hideo were both out with injury.
Yeah.
And it's probably the only reason he got pushed up to Owens right now.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But had they known that they were going to do Owens versus Cena, then they should have just saddled Joe.
But from like the, Tyler from Breeze.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Without even coming to Unstoppable against Kevin Owens, they should have just started him from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is what they did with the Tommy. Mm-hmm. The Tommy's been working his way up from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And where's that get him?
Well, if he wasn't injured. You know, he's contending for main event status.
If he wasn't injured, I venture to think that there would have been maybe a triple threat match for the title in Japan with Hideo if he had not been injured.
That's very possible.
Maybe.
He's still going to actually be at that taping, by the way, at that Sumo Hall show.
Well, yeah, that's
cut a promo.
Backyard, but right? I mean,
it just, so far,
this is people.
Like, I already see Owens as a Raw superstar. I don't see him as an NXT wrestler. So.
But for the sake of what the feud is with Cena, you gotta saddle, you gotta put him, you gotta keep him in NXT right now. Cause that's the whole reason this feud is working, I think. Well, not the only, that's not the only reason, but that's one of the aspects of this feud. This guy, this nobody is coming from NXT and beating Cena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once, hopefully twice.
Yeah. And if what they do is what we predicted, the week before with them switching the titles,
mm-hmm.
Cena coming into NXT and him beating him for it. I think that has some legs on it, too. I think that has something that could be something to look forward to if that does happen.
Then all the focus should be on Owens versus Cena, and they should have Joe doing something else with someone else.
Yeah.
Maybe him and Finn Balor vying for number one contendership somehow. You know, mm-hmm. them going having a series like a best of five series or something. Or
dude, why not Joe versus Rhino?
Okay, yeah. Why not?
You know, try to give, if you're going to literally use him as a jobber, at least try to shine up Bull Dempsey to be some kind of like.
Well, that's the thing. And that goes back to what you were just saying. He just kind of got thrusted into the main event, mm-hmm. which I think that's what they might have been going for, because his first match was Hawkins or whatever his name is. The trucker dude, the hat.
The trucker dude with the hat.
His first match. He's only had two matches. The first match he had.
I don't even remember
Dawkins
that match.
Or something.
Dawkins, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Dawkins.
Okay.
Sawyer Dawkins. A nobody. So, like, that was
Jobby
his first
Jobberson.
There you go. His first match was against him. So I think if the plans weren't changed, I think they might have been doing what you're saying, like kind of build him up.
Mm-hmm. Anything else from NXT?
Oh, what's her face is back.
Well, he celebrated for 1 week.
Yeah.
Nathly boy, Dana Brooke.
Yeah. Look at me. I'm up here.
Huh? What'd you say?
I'm over here.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, she came back and she was like trying to cut promos. And
the camera's right here. And where are you looking?
Yeah. I'm looking at the camera. We can't see that. What? Chris, I'm right here. Look at me.
I am. I'm not Chris. Yeah.
Basically, we lost everybody on audio, but I hope the three people that are watching.
The three people are watching on Periscope understood the gag there. Yeah, basically Dana Brooke wasn't actually looking at the camera whenever she was speaking. Well, when you don't look at the camera, at least look at the interviewer. Well, she wasn't looking at either. She was looking at like Joe Blow and off in the other direction.
This is
somewhere
what happens when you have
distance.
To think and talk at the same time.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I did find it funny that she was, like, bragging about, like, oh, well, I was away because I was competing at the Arnold Classic. And I was like, yeah, and you didn't say how well you did. Because she was 7th out of 8.
Oh,
out of
really?
8 places.
Well, yeah. She doesn't have the physique. I don't understand.
Well, she has the physique to, you know, be in those competitions, but I guess she's not good enough to win them.
Because there must be a speaking portion of that competition.
She was doing high. She was like 1 or 2 place. And then they asked her a question.
Yeah.
She was staring off the space. It was all kinds of weird.
Like, why was she patting my head? Like, I don't understand.
What would you do to end World Hunger? Well, my shoes are shiny.
That's very nice. Get back in line.
Dana Brooke.
Upon further inspection, these are loafers.
And you know what? But seriously, though, getting off her, please. I'm tired of talking about her. Before that, Charlotte came out and did just like a a squash match,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Which she had problems with that. And I was like, what are they doing to Charlotte? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, she's not in any major feud right now. And then that's when they did the whole Dana Brooke thing. It's like, oh, she's just buying time, or they don't have anything for her while Dana Brooke is off doing whatever. So Charlotte's got to suffer.
Just give her a jobber.
So yeah. Charlotte's got to suffer because of that. So
yeah.
I don't know. Charlotte, we said that she needs to be on the Diva, on the
Raw. Main,
yeah, Raw roster. But yeah, because what are they doing with her on NXT?
Absolutely nothing. But
and then she's going to be in a feud with Dana Brooke, I guess, to put Dana over.
Oh, God. No, oofta.
That's NXT. Mercifully, NXT.
Mercifully, yes. All right, well, what we got next?
How about Lucha?
Oh, God. Okay.
This was going to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
One match.
Yeah.
Okay. All night long.
Match of the week?
Candidate, yeah.
Yeah?
Here we go.
I think... match of the week.
Okay.
Yep. And there's, I mean, do we want to go and...
Go for it. Okay. It's your match of the week pick. Explain yourself.
I was kind of worried about it because essentially it's an Iron Man match.
Right.
So this is the first time they've done an Iron Man match here. So I was kind of concerned, like, with all their flippy-dippy stuff, can they sustain a whole hour?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the most part they did. I think
very cleverly.
Cleverly, yes. I was a bit concerned because of, let's talk about the big spots.
Yeah, okay.
Especially going outside, the tables, the platform.
Oh, so you're going to skip the other one?
Well, which one? There was
Crowbar. That's how you go up 4-1. You get a crowbar and then just pin him
which,
three
that's
times.
Another thing.
I love that.
I love that too, that, yeah, he knocked him the F out with a crowbar to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Still did a couple other moves. He pinned him. Did another finisher, pinned him. See, that's how you play on video games.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get wins. So that was, yeah, heelish. I like that. But that wasn't a high spot. Yeah. When I'm talking about high spots, I'm talking about going to the crowds, which that was the first time that I actually heard ECW chants.
Mm.
I don't know if y'all caught that, but when they were fighting in the crowds.
Yeah, yeah.
Sadly, I didn't because I was watching it on a Spanish version, and they had TNA level of overdubbing. So, like, you could see the crowd going, holy shit, holy shit. Yet the audio is saying lucha, lucha when the art don't even make sense.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Those are the ones I'm going to drop, I swear.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we got them fighting the crowd, and then we have, of course, the table set up, which we started off, didn't really do anything, and then they started fighting again on the top, and it goes back down. It was all over the place out there. And then they...
Play a song while he keeps describing this.
And then... So then they stack up more tables, right? And then they go back to the top, and then there's the... On the platform, they go... Mundo did the little cross-platform thing on the ladder. So that was kind of
I like that.
And then he went in front of the band. You know, and then we had the big spear, I guess, to the outside. Which was beautifully done. I thought that was worthy of a replay for Lucha. Because they don't get replays in Lucha.
Right. So, you had to do your own manual replays, which I did.
Just drag the little ball on YouTube a little bit.
Yeah. So, but my point was all that was I was worried that they may blew their load too soon. Because how do you top that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, blowing your load.
That too.
Ginger accent coming out of Travis.
You don't want to do that. That's cable.
So, pacing was very well done. Yes.
You thought that. You did like that. Okay.
Man, I freaking loved how Johnny Mundo all of a sudden turned into Floyd Mayweather. And he just started running.
You need to take a drug test. It needs to be two times a day.
Yeah. Talking about the
blame end, right? It on your shoulder.
Yeah.
The last few minutes.
Yes. Yeah. I loved it. He's like, I'm in the lead. I'm just going to run. Catch me if you can. I don't think I'd ever seen that in a Iron Man match ever.
Well, there's only been like, what, five?
Well,
the only kind of villainy that I liked better than that was Lesnar beating Angle, like raping him with a chair and getting a disqualified point to Angle just for Lesnar to pin him like two or three times like in that next minute.
Yeah.
That kind of like ingenuity from a heel, I like that Mundo did that.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly
where I was going there. That's a good callback to that match because that's kind of similar in the fashions of what the heel would do mm-hmm. to get some wins.
You know, and I knew that they were going to have to do something clever to buy some time for them to actually, you know, stretch out what will be a grueling match. And I thought that, well, either this is going to be really dumb or they're going to have like these spots where they're just going to not do anything or just take it easier rest holds. But when it was... when they used the character, the heel character of Mundo to say, well, you know, I'm just going to run away, I thought that was a nice touch and a good way to kind of factor that in there. All
right, well, let's talk about the end with the run-in.
Okay.
Del Rio, or
yeah.
El Patron.
El Patron.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You didn't deter from the match or anything? Or
no, I think...
A little bit for me.
A little bit?
Really?
Just a titch. Because it was so well done between the two. They had gone back and forth so well that I could have seen Puma's character just edging one out on his own without needing the help.
Mm. Okay. I like that it kind of built in more possible storylines going off of this for, you know, El Patron. Because, you know, now I guess what he's going to... At Ultimo Lucha, I guess he's going to be facing Johnny Mundo, right? I mean, that seems like that would be pretty obvious.
But Puma's still the champ.
Yeah.
You just say he'd be coming for him too.
Yeah, so
it
leaves a lot of open-endedness right. that I like that for possibilities.
Yeah. And I liked it that, it wasn't just straight up. It did further the Del Rio and Mundo feud.
Yeah.
But he also, a little quick shout-out to the end. Hey, Puma. You, I didn't forget about you. I didn't forget about you.
Yeah, you owe me one.
Yeah, and I like the fact that his interference didn't actually put Puma over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it leveled it out, right?
It closed the gap. It wasn't
did
the thing.
Even,
I think it evened it out.
Yeah. But it didn't put him, like, because he still had to win his own.
Yeah.
But
that last 450, 486,
yeah.
whatever
the number is. The way they were, for both of them, they did very well on selling.
Yes.
For the fact that they were wrestling the whole time for what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I definitely my match of the week.
Yeah.
Not to be a hater.
Uh-oh.
I hear Iron Man match, and the first thing I think of is Bret Shawn.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 13?
12.
12? God, rest hold after rest hold. Bah.
Yeah, the
that
first,
was nothing like that.
The first right. 20 minutes was just rest
yeah,
hold.
That, the time frame went by. Like,
yeah.
So to that's another reason I'm giving my match of the week.
Because
we know what an Iron Man match can be.
Yeah. So, okay. Travis, you said it's your pick. I'm saying it's my pick. Chris, you're still
it's candidate. A candidate for me, but it's one of those things where... If that ending was just a little bit different, if it wasn't with Patron, it might have been my pick solidly.
Okay. Does that mean that you know what your other pick is? Okay. Well, I guess since it's only one match with Lucha Underground, I guess that's it.
Yeah, because there was no storylines. There was no
other storylines.
Well, that's from because the episode before they filled in the gap. Puma's next challenger, Mil Muertes.
Yeah.
For the title.
Right, because he just, he won.
Yeah, so that's already set up. So it's good to go. That's
all
it
right.
for Lucha.
All right, so what do we want to talk about next then?
How about, since we're, let's bridge the gap.
Okay, good. Yeah.
The Emmys.
Yeah.
Ah.
Didn't I have this conversation with one of you guys on air a while ago that something, there's stuff on, there's promos on Raw that deserve Emmy nominations because sometimes they're that good.
I don't really listen to you that much. So
I don't think
know.
We did that on air. I think we were just talking about it. But yeah, you did mention it once.
I kind of phase out when you'll start talking. So.
Especially when I'm talking.
Oh,
yeah.
Chris, right?
Yeah. Abel.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm Abel.
Chris is this.
No, that's Chris. What?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Emmy-nominated qualified contenders. Lucha.
Yes.
So Lucha Underground might be an Emmy candidate this year.
Right,
they're on the balloting.
Right, exactly. Okay. And maybe it's because of the, for lack of a better word, cinematic elements of Lucha. I think that's the reason why.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's all subjective. You know, you get one person watch Lucha, like, what the hell is this crap, you know?
Yeah.
But then you got guys like us who understand what they're going for. You're like, oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Nominated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's why. Because if it was just a normal wrestling show, I don't even think Emmy would be mentioned.
Well, the list for the balloting of who's going to, you know, actually be a candidate for an Emmy is pretty lengthy. So, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's like 40 shows deep. But That's still something that WWE can't say. They can't.
No, don't even.
Not any wrestling show can
boast
that.
Don't even say that. This is on. This is a 1 hour, for a relatively new show on a relatively new network that not everybody has.
Yep.
For them to be acknowledged like that, I mean, that's
just the participation ribbon in this sport. It's a big deal.
And I can tell you right now,
it's a big feather in the cap.
I don't work for WWE. I don't know the guys that own it or anything like that. But I would imagine that someone back there in Titan Towers is pissed off.
Yeah, they caught wind of this. They're like, oh, hell no. Yeah.
Lucha gets an Emmy nomination. WWE gets China knocking on the door looking for Hall of Fame.
Vince. Well, not only is Lucha Underground in that same, you know, space there where they're not necessarily candidates. Two other wrestlers have their own shows that are also being looked at for Emmys, and one is...
Well, I got all right here. There's actually quite a... The same two dudes, but they're in a lot of categories.
Okay,
here.
Who are the two dudes?
All right, well, we got, besides Lucha Underground, for a program, an actual program, structured reality program, Lucha Underground and The Rock's Wake Up Call. Okay, those are actual programs by themselves.
Have either one of you watched that show?
Wake Up Call? No.
I haven't. I saw the other one where it was like a...
The first one he did. I can't remember what it was called. It was on TNT.
The competition one. Yeah. Where the first episode, somebody was afraid of heights, so she had to climb all the steps to the top of the constructed building, and it was in like Rio de Janeiro or something. I forgot what it was called.
Does anybody know what that's called? Anybody? No? All right. No. All right, so... outstanding reality competition program. Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge. Mm-hmm. All right,
and I did watch that. A few episodes.
It's on my DVR. It's on my recording. outstanding host for a reality competition show: The Rock and Stone Cold. Steve Austin.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Outstanding guest actor in a comedy series: The Rock for hosting SNL.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Outstanding directing for nonfiction programming, Austin's Broken Skull Ranch. I think they mean Broken Skull Challenge, but whatever. Outstanding cinematography for reality programming, Austin's Broken Skull Challenge. Outstanding sound editing for nonfiction programming, Austin's Broken Skull Ranch.
Wow.
Outstanding picture editing for reality programming.
NXT.
Right. The Rock's Wake Up Call and Broken Skull Challenge.
Wow, so the Broken Skull show's really getting a lot of love there.
Which is weird because, it is what it is, but I wouldn't say, wow, look at all that, you know, look at all the editing they're doing.
Yeah.
But as far as hosting abilities, I mean, I've said it before, I'm going to sound like a broken record saying it again, Austin not being on the Tough Enough show hosting this year is a real detriment. His hosting skills in that show alone, I'll watch anything with him at least once or twice to give. I give him the benefit of the doubt on anything new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
You just mentioned it, so I guess I'll mention it now. I did watch the Tough Enough thingamajiggy on the network. I don't know what it's called. The competition special. But it was their 1 hour special.
Arrival.
I think. Sure, we'll call it that. Which was basically.
Oh, somebody said Jericho sucks at it.
Jericho.
Jericho is. When I was watching that show, that's why I was bringing this up. Jericho, he came out and he did a couple things. I love Jericho. Don't get me wrong, but I'm starting to get that Jericho is a tool vibe.
No, it's not that. I've seen Fozzy perform several times, obviously because I have no voice. Jericho has a presence where he's on stage, where he's either Mongoose McQueen or it's him on the Rock stage. That persona is not the persona that needs to be on Tough Enough. Stone Cold pretending to be Austin 316, drinking beers, flipping people off, that wasn't what he was on Tough Enough. Austin was being himself. Mm-hmm. He was being honest. At times he was being blunt. But it was that you would appreciate, and you would just fall into the character and into the show. Jericho's just in the commercials for Tough Enough, the way he enunciates, the way he presents himself, it looks like Fozzy's behind him. Like Hulk's on bass and Brian's on drums and Paige is like flashing.
He's being a performer.
He's being a performer instead of being himself.
Right. And that's kind of the vibe I got with Jericho. And it's like, this is kind of get old after the whole series is over. Which isn't Tough Enough on, it's on tonight, isn't it?
It starts tonight, the first episode. So, live on the Technicolor.
Ooh, in Technicolor.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can watch your stories on it.
Very good.
For the next 30 minutes, as the world turns.
All right. So, interesting TV things. That's
good. Oh, by the way, on the Tough Enough thing, man, the talk about being reality, air quote, man, it was, some of that stuff was so staged and fake.
Really?
To your point, what you were hating about it, Chris, I could see it all over that place. Where all the finalists that they're picking are all the models and
creative wrestler athletes.
The bodies.
Yeah. They even got to a point where there's this one dude, he's very charismatic. He's from Louisiana. He actually wrestled gators.
Is that the same guy from the television show?
I don't
know. That they cut and then Triple H named him as an alternate in case.
Yeah, he's got long blonde hair. Yeah. Got the teeth necklace, whatever. Yeah, they hyped it up a lot. Like he was so everybody liked him. He was a cool guy. He was outgoing and everything. But you didn't make the cut because he was going to get someone who had a body and everything. Well, the person he lost to, they failed a drug test or whatever. So Triple H himself walked up, found him backstage, and he said, "Hey, man, we're gonna give you
that." Was a clip I saw.
We're gonna let you go in, and we're gonna
give you a shot. Yeah.
So I was like, Triple H himself going back there.
So hold on.
If anyone knows how to fail a drug test, Jack.
I'm a little confused. Triple H went to the guy that failed the drug test.
No. The guy that
the Cajun dude.
Yeah.
And told him, "We're gonna give you a shot to be back on Tough Enough."
Right.
Oh, okay.
Because basically the 13 finalists were already, but the one guy that was already going in there, he failed a drug test.
Okay.
So they needed someone.
So they brought him back to official.
Okay.
Yeah. They brought him back. Gotcha. And Triple H, this is the fact that Triple H himself, you know, he's got other things to do. I don't know why he's doing this. But there was them, there was that guy, and there was also a guy, he had an amputated leg, and they were like really like focused on him. Mm. Like, I guess, get the
war hero guy?
Yeah. I don't know if it was like sympathy or whatever, but they were like really like hyping it up for him.
You know, they didn't get Chris Melendez on the cheap, and he already has in-ring experience.
All right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where the other white guy probably grew up by now. Gowan?
Yeah. He's still wrestling.
Yeah.
He's like the godfather of amputated wrestling.
Yeah, I guess so.
Poor guy. Like, he had to do it before the spring.
He was doing it before it was cool.
Yeah. These other guys actually have a fake leg. This guy was hopping around with one leg.
That's what it takes. Somebody can bring me a machete, man. I'll get one. Get rid of these right now. Give me a muscle shirt and a prosthetic. I'll be the next champion.
We'll get you. I'll break off the leg of this chair and just shove it.
All right. Walkers, man. The walkers got me. They got me.
My point is, I'm probably not going to watch Tough Enough.
Thank you. Welcome to the club. There's enough shit to watch in a week.
Well, there was another show that's on the network that just debuted.
You want
to
cover all the network stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's go. Okay.
Swerved. Did y'all watch it?
Yes, I watched it. Yeah.
I didn't.
It was good. I liked it.
It was what Chris said it was going to be. He's like, we saw everything. Or did you say that? Like, everything that we saw on the commercials, pretty much what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was for the most part.
But it was still funny.
It's funny to watch the reactions of the pranks going on.
Yeah, yeah. What and I liked how they kind of with spoiler alert with Hornswoggle, they turned it around on him where he was the guy that was doing the pranks, and then they're like, well, we're gonna prank him while he's trying to do the prank.
Yeah,
like I really liked that. You know,
well, because the original prank was kind of lame.
Right. Yeah. Chris is looking like, what's the prank? He. They had a cooking show with Renee Young and just another wrestler, Xavier Woods, and then they did it with a couple
spooning
other people.
Spooning leads to forking.
Yeah.
That was the name of the cooking
spooning
show.
Spooning leads to forking, which is great. And so they had, like, these little domes that was covering ingredients of food. And, you know, Renee Young's, like, pretending, like, oh, well, you need to grab this and put the cheese on the nachos and this and that, whatever. And then, you know, the last thing is, you know, they pick up one of those domes, and it's Hornswoggle, and he pops out and just goes, and it's supposed to scare the ever living bejeebus out of them, and you know it did it. And
Xavier Woods' reaction was funny.
His reaction was the best.
Yeah,
I like Natty's reaction where she like almost got fake mad and is like, "I'm mad at you," and like walked out. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah,
but I loved it how Xavier Woods said, "I'm gonna get you back," and then he like went away. It cut to something else. They came back and like he's talking with the producers. And it's like, okay, what we're gonna do is you know, we'll lift up the thing so he could scare somebody else. When instead, when he comes out to go, wah, and scare somebody, just pour all this nacho cheese all over his face. Okay, cool. And that's exactly what they did. So they got him back pretty much. And then, like, he started saying, he started telling Renee, the nacho cheese is going down my ass crack. It was great. Lowbrow humor at its finest.
Did they show the one where they put dildos in Darren Young's car?
No.
No? No. And then, like, and then it turned out it was Tyler Breeze's car and everything was cool? No? Is that next week's?
Sure, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, whatever, Chris.
I think you had him going for a second.
Yeah, you did have him going for a second. I was like, are they really going to do that?
They were big and black, just like you like them, Abel.
Oh. Ooh. Oh, my.
Then it's going to be black. It's okay.
I saw one of the episodes of The List.
Ah.
I did too. I watched it too. Yeah. The shocking title change.
Yeah!
The first episode was Trinity's Divas. I was like, yeah, I ain't going to watch that one. So, it was interesting because before I even watched the show, I was like, oh, this kind of sounds like, it sounds like Countdown. And then I started watching, and it's like, oh, this is Countdown.
I was falsely advertised, I think. I thought The List was kind of like Countdown, but it was going to be mostly celebrities talking. Because when they had the commercials for them, they had, like, Kevin Hart, and they had a couple of others.
John Stewart.
Yeah, I was like, okay, where the... Like, 20 minutes in, I was like, there's no one famous on here except... Well, there's nobody famous on here. Well, Brock Lesnar, because...
Does that bother you, that there was no famous people?
Well, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Because
I've already
famous
seen...
Famous people or celebrity guest hosts on Raw?
Celebrity guest... Whatever. I've seen enough different versions of shows on the network that have all the wrestlers already. I've already heard what everyone has to say about all these matches. You're telling me the list is about celebrities. Yeah. Like, okay, what are the celebrities going to tell me? And there's nobody. Oh, great. Okay.
I just wish... I mean, either call it Countdown still or just with a new makeover or... I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's the same concept, except there's no. It's not a numbered structure. It's not a structured countdown. It's just they're just throwing out
things on the list.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
in no particular order.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
how about Unfiltered? Anybody see that?
Mm-mm. I've been watching that. It's for really young, so I'm gonna watch it.
Oh yeah. Gosh, she is so adorable.
It's hot. What are you talking about?
It's adorable and hot. Yeah.
Anybody watch Culture Shock yet?
Yeah, I've been watching it.
What do you think about it so far?
I like it. I like Corey Graves. I actually watched the one on X Games because I was thinking, hey, maybe I'll see Chris and Lisa in there.
You didn't see us?
No.
Damn. I guess I don't need to watch it. I got the picture. This enough.
Yeah. I like Culture Shock. The only one I didn't watch on that one was the tattoo thing, but I watched all the other ones. The only one I didn't watch on Ill Filter was the Wiz Khalifa episode.
Ugh.
I don't care about that. The newest one was with Darren Young.
Yeah.
And they went straight into... Straight, I didn't mean...
They went straight into the gay.
I made it funny. No, but...
Accidentally. Yeah. I do.
Anyway, they talked about his life, pretty much. So, anyway.
So they're not going to do the one with Machine Gun Kelly post-powerbomb?
Well, I don't care.
And we got one more from the network.
Coming up July 4th, they're finally doing promos for it.
Hey.
Yeah.
The Beast in the East.
Yeah.
Wait, they're doing a Bam Bam Bigelow tribute or something?
No, Bam Bam is Beast from the East, not Beast in the East.
Oh.
There's a difference.
They're actually pushing Lesnar. They didn't announce who he was fighting. They just announced Lesnar's return to Japan.
Sure? Okay, you sure the Kofi thing wasn't just like a placeholder? Like, it's going to be Kofi?
If they change it, it wouldn't shock me. If they keep it, I'd love it.
At this point, why not one of the members of the Authority?
Because then we could have a brand new day in the Land of the Rising Sun. Ah. No.
Sorry, man. I had to leave you out there as well.
Yeah.
What are we looking forward to on this thing? It is live because they said the time was 4:30.
4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my damnedest. It's live, 4:30 Saturday morning.
Oof, duh. I don't know if I can hang. I don't know if I can do that.
I'm going to try.
But I'm sure I'll catch
it. It's
going
to be on the network that day, but everything it'd be nice to watch something live in Japan.
Yeah.
I've never done it. Like, we're trying to get into the New Japan Pro Wrestling stuff, and like, I wish we would be able to see, like,
you know what, honestly,
stuff live in the morning.
Honestly, kudos to WWE for putting it live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
with the network, why wouldn't they? You can go back
production
and rewatch
things,
it whenever.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know, but...
And it makes me wonder if they're doing that much effort for a Japan show, how many of the subscribers do they have in Japan?
I don't know. Yeah,
that goes back to what we were saying last week. How do they?
Maybe it's to sell subscribers in Japan.
Well, I don't think it'd be in Japan. I think it'd be for you. Be for US.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
this I would be... think it'd be for Japan too, because the Sumo Hall's not really that big compared to the Tokyo Dome.
No, man, no. It's to your point. It's probably gauging some interest, because look at it, July 4th weekend. Like, how many people in the US are really going to be like, oh, it's July 4th, WWE Network 4:30 in the morning? Hell yeah!
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm sure that's going to be a gauge of how many. If they can get people on July 4th 4:30 in the morning. Like, maybe that will be an opening. If they can get enough people, maybe they say, okay, there's something here. Maybe we can do live shows.
Mm-hmm. Around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm digging it. I mean, you got the guy from the Bullet Club main eventing for the NXT title against Owens, and you got Brock Lesnar, IWGP, former champ, you know. Mm-hmm. They know how to sell. I mean, they're trying their damnedest to sell the Tokyo crowd. Tommy's going to be there. Hogan's going to be there.
But that's the thing. Tommy's going to be there. It just sucks that he can't wrestle.
Oh, man.
No,
dude.
Damn the luck.
Knowing WWE, Tommy would have lost.
Hometown hero, right?
Oh, no!
Hey.
All right.
That's it for the network. Well, unless there's anything else.
You know
Cyrus.
What? No, screw it. You know what? Tommy, all he needs is his legs.
Because his style is kick.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey.
Look, that's. I'm halfway mid series here.
Hey,
you can kick?
Yes. He's style kick.
He's stretching that one funny for all he can get.
Yep. Yeah. Milk it. All right. Speaking of Japan, Ring of Honor had some interesting stuff going on the telly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You saw the Wednesday show before the pay-per-view.
Yes, I did.
Explain.
Wow. The hype video for Jay versus Jay, Briscoe versus Lethal. Wow, that was a nice hype video. It really brought me up to speed. And
that's what they do.
Yeah. I was really like, oh, man, I want to see this, you know?
The line where Lethal says, Briscoe, that title made you. I made this title.
Yes.
Oh, yes,
Lethal,
I love it.
Lethal on the mic for the past, like, 3 or 4 years has probably been on par with probably anything any other company has.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm. It didn't surprise me.
You know what kind of feels like to me when Briscoe's cutting a promo, or excuse me, Lethal. He's trying to do his Nate impersonation again.
Exactly. Yeah.
But toning it back a little, where it's still him and not Nate.
Yeah.
You
That's
know.
A good analogy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he is.
Because in the beginning, when he first went back to Ring of Honor, I like it smelled of Ric Flair. Not that I was hating it, but I can tell that he still brought that over. But there's a difference that I saw in that promo video and in the pay-per-view.
Oh, man. And then when Briscoe said something about, like, reference Black Machismo, and he got, like, all offended. Yes, that was awesome. But, I was really looking forward to actually watching the pay-per-view on Friday, but I got to call myself out on it. I didn't watch it because it was on Friday, and it started at 7, and
at
I was 8. Tired.
It started at 8.
Started at 8?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I screwed myself up because I got out of work at 7, and I'm like, oh, I got to go to the grocery store. Oh, I got to pick up some food. And by the time I actually got home, it was a little after 8, and I thought, oh, well, I already missed an hour's worth of the show. Forget it. But if I had known that I was incorrect, then I probably would have ordered it. So, boo on me.
I saw most of it.
Boo.
Yeah, boo on you too, Travis. You're not chiming in because you didn't watch either.
Yeah, but man, what else to do?
I because it was Friday night, 8 o'clock. I was tired already from a long week. I dozed in
I
and
think,
out.
Yeah, because I think we were messing each other that day. We're like, are we gonna watch it? Yeah, I've been up since like 6 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'm tired. I just want to go home. And
we're so freaking old. What's wrong with us?
12-hour shift, man. I'm tired. I just want to go home and get my recliner and just chill.
Yeah.
And then chilling turns into...
Yeah.
It, just like that.
Yeah.
So for anyone that didn't notice, Lethal won the match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, new world champ.
New world champ.
I'm very excited for that.
Bullet Club versus Kingdom Super Kick Party was fun.
Yeah.
It was everything you think it is going to be whenever you get AJ Styles and the Young Bucks paired up. And Maria ate it again.
No.
Two super
Go
kicks.
Go on.
Super kick by both Young Bucks.
About something else.
Okay. Super kick by both the Young Bucks and a Pele from AJ Styles at the same time on Maria.
Oof.
Like, even you could have had her afterwards. That she was like that gone.
Mm.
Dalton Castle versus Silas Young was what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Silas Young putting the beat down on him. Castle somehow pulled out a win. My match of the week pick,
triple threat, Moose, Michael Elgin, Roderick Strong.
Really?
Strong busted his ass. He carried a lot of this match, but I got the impression that this was the coming out party of Moose. Like, yeah. Everyone was into the guy. He beat up Strong, and then a lot of time it was like Moose in the ring against someone, and then he,
you know,
got one out, and the other one came in, and you got to see more of his athleticism.
I want to go back to Wednesday on that. Moose lost.
That was his first time losing. To Cedric Alexander.
I did not see that coming at all.
I saw that too. CNC Wrestle Factory reunited to wrestle War Machine in a match that lasted about a cup of coffee in the big time. Cedric was going to use the wrench to cheat. He stopped, and because of that, they lost. War Machine won. And then it turned out later on, Cedric cost Moose the match. Roderick Strong pinned Moose. So Moose already got pinned twice. And then, Moose lost to Roderick Strong through the match. And then afterwards, Alexander comes out, takes out Moose with that corner wrench thingy again.
Yeah.
And it turned out Veda Scott was kind of flirting the line. He was trying to turn Moose heel and the,
yeah.
And Moose's old,
well, that was on manager. Wednesday. Yeah. Like, Veda Scott was trying to coax him to, hey, do the yeah. cheating. Why aren't you cheating?
Yeah.
And he refused. And that's why he lost the actual match.
Yeah. And now Veda's siding with Cedric Alexander. So this is Cedric's heel turn.
Nice.
And Moose, who was like kind of in the middle, even from the beginning,
yeah.
you know, cause even when he debuted, we saw that pay-per-view last year.
Yeah.
He looked like a guy that you could just hate.
Yeah.
And now he's actually getting some sympathy. But
he kind of has that, like, oh, he was a football player, so he probably will suck, but he's like proving him wrong, so he's kind of an underdog, but not really.
Imagine somebody, Titus O'Neil's build, running to the top, jumping to the top rope, and from there jumping out and doing a crossbody onto Roderick Strong and Michael Elgin outside of the ring.
Oof,
that was Moose.
Really?
Yeah.
Moose pulled that up. Again, on Wednesday, another thing that I was impressed with by Moose is his just his standing drop kicks. I think Sed was on the was sitting on the turnbuckle, and he just jumped and did the drop kick. And I was like, that drop kick, you were like 7-8 feet in the air just throwing the drop kick. How the hell did you do that? It was very impressive.
I'm calling it. 2 years from now, he's got a title. TV okay. or world title. I think the spotlight's on that guy.
Okay.
They're making a big deal out of him.
So
You can't have someone named Moose as a champ. That's my contribution to that conversation. Yeah. What else we got?
That's it for the Ring of Honor chatter.
Thank you, Travis. All right. Should we take a break and then come back talk about main roster WWE stuff?
Sure.
All right. Let's go ahead and do that. Take a break.
Hey everybody, this is Chris. Do you ever feel nostalgic? You want to jump into that DeLorean and go back in time? Listen to our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. My friend Travis and I, we talk everything pop culture, movies, television, TV shows, games, video games. You think it? We talk about it. Pop Culture Rewind at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Find us on Twitter at popculturerwnd. And as Travis always says, don't forget to pop your culture.
This is Jeff.
This is Aaron.
And this is Deep in the Heart of Texas podcast. If you like films that are full of blood, guts, and gore, and
whores, if you like boobs, if you like women, you like the Scream Queens, the Scream Kings,
Movie reviews,
and toys, and collectibles,
then look no further than this horror podcast.
Check us out on Facebook, social media sites, Podbean, iTunes.
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Bring the whores, we'll bring the funny,
and we will keep it scary.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you'd like to continue to support Houston Wrestling Radio, you could do so in a number of ways. First, if you downloaded us off of iTunes, hit the subscribe button, that way you get every new episode as soon as we upload them. Also, you could write a review, as well as give us a rating. If you're listening to us on the Stitcher Radio app, hit the thumbs up button at the bottom of the app. If you want to just interact with us, you can do so on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter, @HWrestlingRadio. You can also send us an email, HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com. And if you're able to support us monetarily, you could buy one of our awesome t-shirts designs at tpublic.com/user/HWR podcast. Or if you'd like something different, like a phone case or a tote bag or a hoodie, you could do that at redbubble.com/people/HWR podcast. Again, thank you so much for your continued support, and enjoy the rest of the show.
This is WWE Hall of Famer Tito Santana, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Arima!
And we are back. Thank you so much for listening to our show. We very much appreciate it. If you're listening to us on Texas Sports Review, awesome. Thank you so much. We hope to transition to being on there live sometime in the near future. So get used to listening to them. If you're watching us right now on Periscope with Chris poking his nose and eating his boogers, thank you so much. You know, check out Periscope. It's pretty cool, you know, live streaming stuff, so you get to see what we're doing, because we're always—
is that a good thing?
Yeah, we're always gesticulating on a on an audio podcast.
Oh my.
This way you can see our gesticulations.
You're trying to get viewers, right?
Yes, I am.
Your gesticular fortitude.
Yeah. Quit making up words.
Raw. Let's get to the WWE. So Raw put me to sleep last night quite a few times, so I'm a little fuzzy on what happened, but I will start with this.
Don't feel bad. I played the Toad video game for the Wii U. I played that half the time on the tablet while the Raw was on the TV.
Really? Okay. Well, let's start with the positive. Or at least something I think is a positive.
Lesnar killed a midget.
Well, that too. All right. Well, then let's start with that.
You know what? Actually, I want to say something about Lesnar first, because
okay,
when we talked about him going face, Chris,
yep,
and you were saying, oh, well, you know, he's not going to be doing anything faces. He's just going to be fighting, you know, whoever, and the fans, well, if they want to cheer him, they can, whatever. Something happened last week. I didn't really say much about it, but this week I noticed a trend.
Oh, yeah.
Well, his t-shirts.
Yeah.
His t-shirts, very face-ish. Is that a word? Face-ish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where now he's got like the city that they're wrestling in on his shirt.
Like specific to wherever they're at?
Like last week was Ohio, Cleveland, and this
really?
One is Indianapolis.
Yeah. So, if they do one for Night of Champions, I'm buying that hoe for Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, get one. Get one for me too. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. No, but things like that. If they start doing things like kind of corny like that,
I'm not sure if it's to get a face reaction. I think that's something that Punk did a few times. He had a Best in the World show when he came back.
This is one of the one show though,
and we had the Chicago date on the back. Right.
That was just for that one show though.
But if that's a trend to get more people to show up at the show, that, hey, you can only buy his shirt with Houston on it to the Houston show, so fans will know, hey, you went to the Houston show. You didn't just buy the generic one off the shop. Mm-hmm. Like the WrestleMania shirts. I was there. And as opposed to the regular WrestleMania shirts, you can buy mine.
And I just wonder if these shirts, if these are just something that they printed out for Brock to wear on the show, or if that's actually merchandise.
Oh, that's merchandise.
Are you sure?
Last week I saw the Ohio shirts on the website.
Actually said Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. It was on the website. Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
So they're going to have like just multiple different shirts you can order?
Well, think of it this way. Brock doesn't make that many appearances. So, you know, if there's just four variants, well, that's not too unheard of.
That's pretty sad when you can do a whole for a 50 state option.
I can't wait to see it in Japanese for the sumo show.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be interesting. It's all street signs. It's all Japanese.
Sumo Hall Prefecture, number 2, Japan.
You know? All right.
That's just one observation that I had about Brock. We said the start of the show was, man, you know what? Heyman, God damn it. I didn't forget how much I missed him, but it's good to see him back.
Oh, yeah.
If there's anybody that deserves the role to be teaching promos now that Dusty's gone.
Yes. It's Heyman.
Oh, definitely.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Which Dusty taught him a few things. Mm-hmm. He said that a couple times on podcast.
Because you know, I'm all knowing, and I know what's best for business, baby. You sit there in the corner. I got you taken care of, buddy.
Yeah. Daddy.
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 That wasn't a bad impersonation. You've done worse.
Yeah.
So we're getting back to Lesnar and, well, them hyping up the fight with Rollins.
One last asterisk. Generic face thing to do is for Brock to get on the mic and just straight up apologize. The Brock thing to do is to give Michael Cole a noogie.
A noogie.
There's instances of Brock
actually
doing him being himself as opposed to him just being cookie cutter face.
Mm-hmm.
So I still don't see Brock as a face. I need to see something deliberate.
I think you're being in denial, actually, because I think that noogie thing, that's a face thing.
Was Heyman's promo a face thing?
Heyman is just Heyman.
I don't know. Heyman's, I don't think so.
Because you would think that's a package deal.
Hmm.
Unless Heyman's about to turn on Brock to join with Kofi.
No.
Oh.
Boo! Boo you! Okay. Anyway.
I don't know where to go with that one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Rollins trying to buy the favor of everybody else in the corporate.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that aspect of the...
Yeah, it has made the whole thing pointless towards the end.
Yeah.
Because if they were going to join him anyways...
Like, that was kind of predictable. Like, that was something that was putting me to sleep. Like, all right, yeah, this is pretty obvious that somehow Seth is going to convince them, or maybe Seth is looking like that they haven't convinced him, and then they're going to go in and save the day for Seth. Which, you know... I've complained before that WWE doesn't know how to do heel versus heel stuff, and I think the friction between Seth and the rest of the authority is heel versus heel stuff, and it just it didn't really tickle my pickle.
In that situation, you blame 3-hour Raws. Are we done with Lesnar Rollins?
Well, no, the end.
Okay.
Did y'all stay awake for the end?
I was in and out. I tried, but I was dozing.
There were technical difficulties on my viewing of Raw throughout the entire night. The screen going green after the Yoda reference.
That was everybody.
Yeah, then so there was several instances where I thought we were having.
That was one thing, man.
There were more than
that
one.
That was like for like two seconds.
There were more. There was a couple more glitches I had. So then when the TV turned off, I thought that was Raw doing its Raw thing, and it turned out...
Now, when you say when Raw turned off, do you mean everything went black because your eyes shut?
No, everything went black because the TV went out.
But why did your TV go out? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know either.
I think he's making this up. I think he fell asleep.
Yeah, I think he fell asleep.
No, but I saw afterwards.
Okay.
They joined in.
He's being very vague about this. So anyway, the beatdown. Brock was... destroying, you know, Kane in J&J security, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got turned around on him. He got outnumbered, and then he got beat down.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's good because it's gonna, you know, you got to pace yourself pretty well. You got 5 weeks, 4 weeks now. So yeah, let them have their little victory over him for right now.
Yeah.
I still kind of wish that Rollins was still not being the cowardly heel in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
At least trying to man up a little bit and try to fight. Like, I think it would be better if, like, at the end where it was all the authority and Lesnar's music came out, and then they all, like, walked away. Like, you're on your own, buddy. And then they just, like, surrounded him and tried to... Like, what I would think would be really cool is if they did leave and Rollins, like, and then just, like, all right, let's go. And just, like, kind of mans up right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be kind of cool. And then we kind of get like a one-on-one type of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I know we're not going to get that, especially now.
No, not until the actual pay-per-view, I suppose.
Even then,
unless,
it's going
to be... Well, sometimes they do that, where they just give away, you know, the good stuff on free TV. Sometimes they do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we looking forward to Rollins and Lesnar?
It's too early for me to say yes or no. You know, because we got 4 weeks worth of build ahead of us. So I want to reserve my judgment.
There's some fights and some feuds that when a big match is coming up, like, it doesn't matter what the build-up is. we're going to see these two guys fight. I want to see them fight.
Yeah.
Is this that kind of match? Or do you have to have a build-up? You have to... You got to get invested first.
Yeah, I got to get invested in this one because as it stands just on paper, Brock versus Seth, Seth's going to die. But, like, I want there to be that man-up moment for Seth.
I don't even think it's going to be like that, honestly.
I would be in the same boat that you're in if it wasn't for Punk Lesnar and Brian Cena.
Yep.
The little guys have proven that if they're presented correctly, they can stand up to Lesnar and become a threat.
You know what the key is there? If they're presented correctly.
And that's and that's my other half of that.
Okay.
I'm in the middle. I want to see a good match between Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. My money's down for it.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm getting Kane and J&J security anywhere near it, to hell with it.
Mm.
It has to be one-on-one. Otherwise,
one-on-one with a manned up Seth Rollins and not the sniveling, cowardly heel that he's been for the last couple weeks.
If we're getting Hell in a Cell, Ambrose Rollins, and then out of nowhere Bray Wyatt comes out, the hell with this. I'd rather just watch TNA.
Oh man.
That's
fighting words.
Because the last couple of months, that's what WWE has done to us. Chamber. With Ambrose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? There's no definitiveness, there's no decisiveness. A match like this in SummerSlam with that kind of build, with this kind of like marquee talent of Lesnar, there's no BSing this.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get it right.
Yeah.
And if they screw that up, then you saw this roll call. There's plenty of other product that I can watch instead of watching 3 hours, which half of it was devoted on the Wii U. 3 hours of Raw, I can easily watch Lucha, ROH, NXT. That's the
difficulty he had.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, among other things. Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, and that took quite a few portions of Raw, which I gotta say, for the most part, Raw felt more structured this week for me. It wasn't like all over the place. They kind of was for me. It felt more focused, like they knew what they were trying to do,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't bad. We had one. There were some good matches on there. I really loved Sheamus and
Roman.
Roman, yes,
yes, I loved it too. In fact, I want to nominate that as a match of the week candidate.
That's a candidate.
It's not my pick.
No.
You know, Mundo and Lucha, that's definitely my pick.
For some,
but, yeah.
I guess there's, and I just found this out from you earlier, but a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I get that. I'm hearing that a lot when it comes to Sheamus.
Like, and when it comes to Roman, obviously.
Yeah,
but.
Well, yeah, but I mean, more so for Sheamus, I guess, for, I don't know, I guess the haircut, whatever, people just can't get over that part.
Yeah.
But... I said it from day one since he had the new makeover and everything. Because he's a heel, I love it.
Yes, I love it too.
His presentation has improved, and he's not just a jobber. I think he's higher level up than like some of these other heels that are supposed to be good, like Barrett, things like that. I think he's overshadowing them.
Hell, he's higher up than what he was. Before,
oh,
the weeks before
the
Money in the Bank.
The last face run he was doing?
Well, I was going to say in the last couple of weeks before Money in the Bank, but yeah, that too, before his last face run.
Yeah.
I think they're really going to, you know, put some wheels on him and push him a little bit, and I'm happy for that.
But even though, you know, people, I guess, were crapping on this match or this, I guess when you just say Sheamus versus Roman,
people are like, oh, yeah.
But, dude,
if you watch it for the match itself.
Yeah, I just saw the graphic pop up. Sheamus versus Roman Reigns. At first, like, eh. But then I was like, wait a minute. This could be a good match.
Yeah.
You get some hard-hitting dudes in there.
Because it could be brutal and physical.
Yeah.
And what was it? It was brutal
and
physical.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I just think people were just kind of hating on Sheamus just to hate on him.
And Roman.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
I have the three-strike rule.
Here we go.
Strike one, Roman.
Okay.
Done. Strike two. I don't really hate Sheamus, but something still sticking in my craw that you repackage Sheamus as a heel character in his first match on pay-per-view, he loses to Ziggler.
Okay.
And then the Kiss Me Arse match.
Yeah.
So I'm not all there yet. So there has to be something with Sheamus.
I think they're trying to wipe themselves clean.
And once they get there, I won't have Sheamus as a strike. But right now, that's strike two.
Okay.
And strike three is Raw Origins. Like, if I already knew this happened on SmackDown, why the f*** do I need to watch it on Raw?
This happened on SmackDown?
Sheamus Roman happened on SmackDown.
Ah.
So you tell me that, I don't even need to watch it.
Yeah.
So, done.
Well, did you watch it on SmackDown?
No. But that doesn't.
Well, then.
No, but that goes back to my gripe. Like, if you're gonna put stuff on Raw,
well, that doesn't matter if you didn't watch it. What kind of logic is that? It doesn't make any sense at all. If you watched it on SmackDown, then yeah, I can see your gripe. But you didn't watch it, so what difference does it make?
Jerk.
Actually, one thing I do want to call out on the match: the counter to Roman's running kick.
Yes,
the clothesline.
I love that. Oh god, that was so awesome.
If you watch it, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And I liked how Roman kind of powered out of the 10 beats of the whatever they call it. And,
doldrums.
They call it something else. Doldrums? Is that one? 10 beats of the doldrums?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Jerk!
All right. So, anything else from Raw?
Well, from Raw?
WWE.
You're already done with Raw?
WWE doesn't do heel versus heel very well. Lesnar Rollins was probably due to the 3 hours. Why? I still need someone to tell me this. They have made it official on Raw. The Bella Twins are the bitches you're supposed to boo because they're holding the rest of the division and the Whitey down. So then why are they being booked against Naomi and Tamina, and why are they still being cheered against Naomi and Tamina? That makes no sense to me.
You know what I did in that match? I fast-forwarded it. Because that story, I mean, they just got done with this whole give Divas a chance where they acknowledge the fact that, oh, you know, there's no faces or heels or this and that, and we're going to change that up, and they're already going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are Bella's? You know, what is Naomi? What are they doing with them? Why are they all fighting each other?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
And Alicia Fox is with the Bellas now.
Deal.
Yeah.
There, okay. Apparently something happened on SmackDown or main event or something. That's why she was with them.
Yeah, she wound up being the twin in the twin magic for no good reason at all and helped out.
Again. She was a twin in twin magic.
No, well, she wasn't. Will you stop coughing? She wasn't literally the twin in twin magic, but she was like played the role where she came out to help one of them.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah. The Divas, no. Cena Owens is what you should be talking about.
Nah.
Start talking.
Okay. I don't remember. That was probably when I dozed off. So you start talking.
Okay.
Well, I'll say a couple things about it. There was parts that I really loved, and there was parts that I really hated.
Oh.
There's certain catchphrases. There's certain dialogue that Cena drops in his promos when you hear it. You feel this weird sense in your stomach that you know Cena's gonna win that match.
That
and I heard it and I felt it and I like pooped it.
Well, no, this is more specific to this match. The exchange just in general between they have chemistry.
Oh hell yeah!
Owens and Cena, when they start going, everybody shut the F up. We're gonna listen to what you gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, and I don't know if this is because they've already had 2 matches, and we have 5 weeks to build, 4 weeks to build, whatever. I think they are already forcing an aspect of this feud when they brought up where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking in French, mm-hmm. and then Cena started talking French, and then, oh, you want to do this in Chinese? Okay, and he started talking in Chinese. What? Like, I didn't understand where, like, nobody said anything about where Owens was from until Owens said that people were saying, you know, where he's from.
I think in Owens' promo, he wanted to make it official that Owens was the guy that should be booed, and he was going to manipulate the fans easily by starting to become the foreigner and speaking in French so that it would be easier
but
for
again,
the fans
that's,
to boo.
But again, that's forcing it. Yeah, it's forcing it. And it wasn't
even
necessary.
With his explanation, it was exactly. It's not necessary.
Yeah. So that's what kind of killed me for that segment. But man, you get Cena and Owens together on the same screen. Yeah. They got some chemistry going. I mean, they that's a good feud they have.
Now, if I remember correctly, did that wind up breaking down into a brawl afterwards?
Nope. You must have slept through a lot of that.
Yeah, I did. I was only halfway paying attention to a lot of stuff.
Did you watch Primetime Players against the Ascension?
Yes, I did. I did see that.
Explain how.
Well, the Primetime Players come out. I'm like, oh, we're going to have a Primetime Player match. This is awesome. And then they did the whole little video package of Titus, you know, being the dad. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. That's great. Okay.
How did the Ascension get there?
And then, yeah, just, oh, here's their opponents, the Ascension. Wait, oh, okay. So I think this was the first time on Raw that they've gotten the jobber entrance. just, you know, oh, they're already in the ring. Oopsies. I'm like, oh man, that kind of sucks for them. And, I'm like, well, I know who's going to win. Oh, that kind of sucks for the Ascension, but screw it. I like the prime time players. Whee! So they went along with the match and I thought the match was pretty good.
Are y'all still on Ascension?
It's unfortunate. I think it's an unfortunate situation where they've dropped the ball on the Ascension.
I don't think they dropped the ball. I think Ascension's not as good as everybody says they are.
Okay.
I think that's in the Samoa Joe category when you sell them with a bad gimmick up front and make them try to make the best of a bad situation instead of trying to give them a better situation to start with.
Did you catch all that? Somewhat.
First 4 weeks, they're already talking about they're better than all the teams from the past and the present, that they shouldn't have gone there.
They were
doomed to fail before they even wrestled.
They made themselves a parody of what they were supposed to be.
Right
from the get-go.
Instead of being themselves.
Yeah, and you can recover from that, but when you only put them on main event and superstars,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and then you get jobber entrances on Raw.
And don't get any wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can so capitalize on the goth crowd.
Oh, yeah.
They're really dropping the ball on the goth crowd. Between Paige and the Ascension, man, they could be selling.
There's no goth crowd anymore. This is 2015.
Okay, demo.
They can lead sales in Hot Topic all night long.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on that, you know, especially with the Ascension's Titantron promo, NXT Titantron with the eye in the pyramid and all that. Dude. Yeah, that's a marketing bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ascension would be great in Lucha.
Yes. Yes,
they would know how to market that. Crazy.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
What Lucha would do is exactly what WWE did, but Lucha would do a better job of pulling it off.
Oh, they
to
do it
where,
right.
Yeah, they would do it right. Like, you can build the Ascension as, oh, you watch Legion of Doom, you watch the Road Warriors, you watch Bruiser Brody tagging. This is what you're going to end up with, the Ascension. But done Lucha's way, they could have done like leaps and bounds when WWE pulled out of their ass for this.
Even getting past all that, personally, for me, I just don't think that Ascension is as good as everybody says they are. I don't see what you were saying, Chris, weeks, months ago when they first came on the scene. Is like, well, I want to see something out of them. I want to see what they can do. I've yet to see that. Even when they get ring time on air, I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand the
Fall of Man looks really crappy in the bigger WWE main roster ring. Mm-hmm. It looked a little bit more devastating in the smaller NXT ring.
That's a weak example.
I'm illustrating just one point.
Right.
You know, and I'm not defending him. I'm just saying this is what's going on, and that might be part of it. And it, like, they, you don't see them doing any of the other brutal stuff, because all their brutal stuff that they did, they would lead to victory and a win, but they're not winning, so they can't kill somebody. So
The problem: when the Ascension had the focus, they didn't maximize on it. Right now, the Ascension is not the focus. The Ascension are the tag champs and they're number one contenders, so the Ascension is going to fall below. If they would have capitalized on the Ascension when they brought them up, when they were killing jobbers left and right, they should have capitalized on that momentum and done something with it, or actually build more momentum with it. By the time it fizzled out, I think when primetime players mocked them, I think that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything to recover from it. They didn't do anything to stand out. It was awesome.
But they didn't do anything to stand out. Yeah, it was the beginning of the beginning for the primetime players.
Never mind. I was kind of thinking out loud. I thought that was the first, but that was actually the second one they did. The first one was when they mocked New Day.
Yeah.
But even then, all those little parody things didn't really go anywhere. So
yeah.
All that being said, I liked the match itself, because I thought the match itself was going to be just a straight up squash jobber. But there was a little bit back and forth there. So I was pleasantly surprised that they weren't, you know, completely just like, okay, 1-2 moves, that's it, done. It was somewhat competitive. I liked it.
The only thing that I could say that I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. It was like when the Ascension, it wasn't even a move. It was just, they had, what's the big one? Connor. He had Titus, like, down, like, face down, and he had his knee over his back,
mm-hmm.
and he was holding him down, and he tagged in his partner.
Yeah.
While had his knee on him. I said, oh, that's a cool way to, but even that's, like, the only thing I, yeah. That's the only thing I could
do. I get it.
You know, but anyway, that's, yeah.
That's it for Raw.
No, it's not. There's one other thing. I want to get to the stuff with Roman and Wyatt. Now, that was something I actually watched. Yeah, that was kind of my reaction.
Wyatt and Roman?
White woman. Ah, so. Japan, July 4th. Ha.
Sumo.
Sumo. Ha. No, anyway.
Bullet the club.
What in the blue hell are they doing with this? Like, so Roman's walking down the hall trying to find Wyatt, and they found Wyatt's little secret room.
Is that where he's been this whole time?
I guess so.
That's his studio?
That also kind of, you know, like, it's one thing back in the 90s where, like, it was the boiler room is where, right, you know, Kane and you know, Mankind hung out. So they found a place in every arena. But I don't think Wyatt is finding a place in every arena. I think it was more like, he's from an undisclosed location. Oh, and there it is.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I thought that was really strange. But then...
Bad. Not strange. Bad.
Both. Yeah. Bad. And then they go in there, and it's all painted up. He painted on the walls, and then he has pictures of Roman with the eyes cut out and the mouth cut out.
That's a lot of work.
That was a lot of work. And then it said, anybody but Roman? Well, that's the only thing I could kind of understand if this was WrestleMania season when everybody was saying anybody but Roman. But now people, I feel like there's a measure, not full on out, but a measure of forgiveness for what went on during WrestleMania season. Not everybody's on board. I get it, but we're kind of past the anybody but Roman stage. So I feel like they're a little bit late on that.
Yeah. I'm not hating on Roman.
Exactly.
Whatever, it's cool.
So I don't know. And the other thing too, this would have been a little bit better if Bray has been threatening this entire time. But he's lost his sizzle, he's lost his magic. He can't win anything. So who cares if, like, oh, you're really gonna intimidate me by putting up pictures of me? Like, I don't care. I'm still gonna beat you anyway because you suck at wrestling.
And it's Roman Reigns. He's not gonna lose to Wyatt.
White.
Yeah. He's not. Like, if this was Wyatt versus Zack Ryder, then I can understand. I can understand. Okay, Wyatt's probably gonna beat him.
Oh, or if they call up Wobble Wood.
So, but if it's Roman Reigns, so he's not gonna lose.
Yeah,
it's too soon in this Wyatt Reigns feud to be involving the family. It's one thing. For example, Ryback, just a quick 15-second shout during his promo backstage that his parents hadn't talked in over 15 years and they came together to watch him defend his title at the last pay-per-view. That's enough to pull a heartstring.
Yeah.
15 seconds in a promo, not like first 5 minutes from up.
Yeah.
Especially coming up from Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, three matches in, rubber match, maybe this is the time. Like, they didn't, like, Jericho Punk. Like, 2 weeks in, Jericho didn't break out the alcohol. This was after the second match. Jericho started getting personal. You know,
and even then, we were a little uncomfortable with it.
But it was in the right direction. We knew Punk's vice was the alcohol. This is a common vice for anybody, not Roman Reigns in particular. So, like, a vice...
It's his daughter. I mean, it's his daughter. Like, nothing's wrong. Like, he's just supposedly stalking the daughter or something.
Like, you know what I would understand is if Bray Wyatt went and stole Roman Reigns' vest. Okay, that vest means so much to Roman. He wears it all the time. Without it, he looks flabby. I understand why he would be pissed at Bray. Like, why is this, like, this? This is them trying to solidify the people that like Roman to love Roman.
And you know what else? It's also a cheap way of sneaking in the dad stuff with him. Like, you know, like the whole marketing thing is like,
okay, that's the same picture from last year's commercials.
Yeah, with Titus, oh, we'll just mention it and show the video. With Roman, we'll have Wyatt
steal his babies.
Stalk his daughter. That way we can say, hey, he has a daughter, and hey, he's a dad.
Hey, can't boo the dad. Yeah. You're booing freaking Kevin Owens. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's circle around back here one more time.
On Father's Day, no less.
Okay.
Or the week of.
Before the reveal of the room was just down the hall.
Right.
Before that, he was having a tea party. Mm-hmm. I guess you were supposed to assume that was his daughter that he was talking to or whatever.
Yeah.
But then after Roman Reigns, for whatever reason, just decided to just go after him, even though he didn't see what was going on. And then that's when they pulled back and he was just a rocking chair.
Yeah. Which, the other thing too that sticks in my craw about that rocking chair was supposed to have been destroyed by Dean Ambrose.
No, he got it back.
What? When? How? What?
I thought Taker burned it.
I thought Dean Ambrose destroyed it.
No, Dean Ambrose broke it. But, no, he got another one.
Oh, okay.
That and then Taker burned that one, and then he bought another one.
Okay, so these are just new rocking chairs. They're not Sister Abigail's rocking chair. Then, right?
Right.
Okay.
We spent too much time on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we have to bring up the WWE, let's try to brighten the mood a little bit. Anybody that survived WrestleMania Madness, good luck with this one. What are we calling this? Summerfest? Or
we never called it yet.
HWR Summer Madness? Sure?
Why are you asking me?
I don't know.
Here's your Summer idea, Slam Chris. Madness.
No, that is
something. No.
HWR Summer Madness. There you go.
HWR Summerfest.
Summerfest Madness.
Mania. Summerfest Madness Mania. 16 of the best, well, in our opinion, best, memorable, impactful, whatever. We have 16 matches. We're going to try to find the best.
From SummerSlam.
From SummerSlam. We're going to try to find the best SummerSlam matches of all the time. And we're about to announce the first round. And unlike WrestleMania, we're not giving you four matchups. We're only giving you two.
Right, because the bracket here, we're starting at 16 instead of 32.
Instead of 32.
Now, this was whittled down from a list of almost 40?
No, I have the list right here. It's 34 plus 20, 54.
50, oh, wow. A list of 54 that we whittled down ourselves.
Now let's talk about our list before you get into this.
Yeah.
Because we want to make it clear, we did go over, you had a big list of all types of, I guess you want to say important matches, but it wasn't just like clinics. You know, we're talking infamous matches. We had squash matches, storytelling. But it was kind of hard to narrow it down to 16. But I think
we tried our best.
There's a lot of matches that were memorable,
right?
But not the good. Best.
Yeah,
like infamous instead of famous.
Yeah, so. We took those in consideration, but I think we kind of wiped the palette on some of those, mm-hmm. and we just got down to kind of brass tacks on...
Right.
So...
That was the idea behind it. Now, the implementation behind it is that we went through the list, and everybody said yay or nay on which one.
Right.
And the matches that got three yays are the ones that wound up making the list.
So things like Ultimate Warrior vs. Honky Tonk Man.
Significant of Warrior's career.
Significant of Warrior's career, but as far as a match goes, it was a squash.
You're going to compare 2 minutes to Brock Punk.
Exactly, so, exactly. Yeah. So things like that, we just wanted to let you know, because I don't think we spent time on the WrestleMania to explain our choices.
And we had that question come up quite a bit, like, why'd you pick these matches? Well, that's what we picked. So, and we didn't do this flippantly. I mean, we did it systematically.
Yeah,
very painstakingly systematically.
The WrestleMania one was a bit flippant compared to the effort we put on this one.
Well, this is more refined because we know what we're doing now.
Mania was a test run.
Yeah, the 16 that we came up with are we're not saying that these are the end all be all, and if your favorite isn't in the 16, well, I'm sorry, but this is what our three dumb noggins came up with.
Which is good and bad. It's good because these are good matches. The bad thing is you have to vote against them.
Yeah.
Which is already going to hurt you in the first round.
Oh, the first round's already going to be one right up the butt.
Oh, yeah. So, first round.
But you like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just picking the matches was enough.
Darren work. Young versus Pat Patterson. That never happened.
Put that on 2K15. Story mode. Who puts it where? Okay.
All right.
So,
first round.
It was enough work for us to try to whittle this match list from 54 to 16. So, we didn't vote on which match was better than the other for rankings. We just ranked them by time.
Chronological order.
So, the first seed is from the first SummerSlam, and the 16th seed is from the most recent SummerSlam.
So, what does it leave us for the first round?
Well,
so
the most recent of the matches that we picked.
Yeah.
It wasn't this year's SummerSlam.
So, the first round. Brag matchup number one. Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect.
Uh-huh. From SummerSlam.
This is one of Abel's favorite matches, by the way.
Right. For the Intercontinental title.
Yep.
Versus last year's match of the year pick from Houston Wrestling Radio. Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk.
No, it was 2 years ago it was a pick, right?
Yeah, no. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Brock Lesnar match of the year. CM Punk.
Oh, crap. That's just the way the freaking bracket worked out.
Yep.
1 to 16. Chronological order. There you go.
And then our second matchup.
I hate you.
Triple H.
You agreed to it.
I know.
From 98, Triple H against The Rock. Ladder match for the Intercontinental title.
That's a good one.
against Heart and Soul, Bret Hart versus Undertaker for the WWF title with HBK as the referee.
Oh, that hurts so much.
Two matches, not four. Two matches for the first round.
Yeah, two matches. Pick the two winners, and they'll go on to the final or the next round from there. But then next week we'll have the other first round. So we're going to have four first rounds?
Yes, we'll have four weeks of first rounds, and then we'll have 2 weeks for the quarterfinals. And we'll have 2 weeks for the quarterfinals, and then 2 weeks for the semifinals, and then the finals.
So this should all sync up to the week of SummerSlam itself. So this is a 9-week endeavor that we're going to be on here. So stick with us, guys.
Yeah, we'll have an actual, like we did last time. We'll have a graphic bracket out there on our Facebook page.
And actually, since we're only doing two matchups per week, we might actually try to be able to fit this on our Twitter this time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what we can do. If we have the image, we could also throw that on there on the Twitter. Yeah.
On the Twitter machine?
Yeah. The Twitter machine.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is going to be fun, guys. Keep your eye out on the social media. If you just want to go ahead and chime in right now, go to our Facebook page and send us a message, or go on to our Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio.
We're going to get some hate mail on these.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Brock Punk versus Perfect Heart. Crap. I hate you, Chris. I hate you so much.
That's legit right there. I can tell it in your voice.
Yeah.
It's not the first time.
Yeah.
Or the last.
Nope. But I always come crawling back.
Yes! That's why my voice is always gone.
All right.
Oh, my.
Anything else?
Just indie stuff going on. Well, this past weekend was ROW, how none of us wound up going. that's sad for us. And then, hey, I actually saw a video clip of the My Life, My Foundation, Way or the Highway charity Daniel Peter show.
Yeah.
It had Mad Dog, you know, Son of Havoc, fighting who knows who. But he did an awesome shooting star press that looked very clean. And I was impressed from it. It was just like a little 15-second clip of pretty much the finish of the match. So if you guys were there in attendance at the Pasadena Convention Center, I guess you guys had a nice little showing.
I drove past the Pasadena Convention Center while it was going on.
That doesn't count.
Was
it packed?
That's what I was in the parking lot for. It was quite a few cars there. You know, it wasn't crazy packed, but I mean, there was more cars than I thought.
Yeah.
But I had food in my car that I was taking to my wife, because she couldn't make it to the barbecue, so I couldn't stop.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Because
they try to do it on Father's Day. I don't understand that concept.
But. Yeah, Father's Day.
Yeah.
And then we still have Doomsday Wrestling coming up.
Doomsday.
That's coming up here pretty soon, and we're really excited for that. Again, I gotta see if we get somebody on here for doing an interview or something about that.
And then we've got Ring of Honor in September. In San Antonio.
Yeah.
Night of Champions, September, here in Houston.
You're in Houston. Tickets on sale.
Anybody that cares.
Yep.
The UFC is going to be here in October.
Ah, the UFSC.
I tried going to a UFC, and this is the prices are so expensive, man.
I bought $50 seats.
Even then, I'd just rather watch on TV.
The only difference from experience, that's the closest thing you're going to get to actually going to watch a boxing fight in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because it's legitimate. It's got that big fight atmosphere. I went dressed up. The person I went with went dressed up. Half the crowd was dressed. Heels and ties. And
oh, you got to dress up? Oh, I'm definitely not going now. Well, I dress up at work every day at work. I don't want to do that on the weekends.
Well, it was easy for me because I knew how to do it. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's
the clip-on work.
He's really good in heels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicks dick heels.
Yeah. And then we also have Lone Star Championship Wrestling and Clutch City Productions.
Clutch City!
Doing their charity show for Bustin' for Autism. They're a charitable organization in Houston with autism awareness. That's coming out July 12th. We've been putting this thing over for quite a while.
One of us better get in the ring.
Maybe. And, the card is stacked. We're going to have appearances from Tommy Dreamer.
Stacked.
Ivelisse.
Yeah.
And Katrina.
That was the next one I was going
to
say.
Ivelisse, Katrina. That's all you need to say.
Alberto
El Patron. And some other guys.
Yeah. Alberto El Patron. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hernandez.
Hernandez, yes. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a pretty cool show. So definitely check it out. We are going to have on this show next week one of the Lone Star Championship Wrestling wrestlers.
Your favorite.
No, Randy's favorite. My girlfriend's favorite wrestler. Oh. there's already tension there. The juicy one, Danny or Cherry Ramones. So yeah, we'll have him on the show.
I'm not calling a grown man Cherry, so it's Danny Ramone.
I ain't calling no grown man Delicious.
Twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle.
Yeah, so
I'm a grown ass man, dog.
I'm dog. I'm a grown ass man.
If you gotta suck different crap, you gotta suck different crap.
So yeah, we're gonna have Cherry on, or excuse me, Danny. I don't know. So I'll make sure that Randy isn't in studio because
she will swallow this microphone.
So is he gonna be in studio?
No, I think that one will be over the phone.
Okay,
but
then there shouldn't be anything to worry
well,
about.
Well, she'll
be on three-way.
She'll try to steal my headphones.
All you hear is... From you.
Yes. So, yeah, that shouldn't be awkward at all. Actually, it'll probably be pretty fun. He's a nice guy.
He's all right.
Yeah, I've talked to him a couple of times already. So
I still remember
that should be fun.
That bit from when we went to Inspire.
Yeah,
and it was intermission or whatever, and he was walking around. He walked past us, and we were saying, "What were we calling the Juicy Fruit or something like that?" Yeah. And then he's like, "Stop!" And like, turn around, and because this is when he had his long hair and in the big chains, and then he got in some little kid's face. Like he came back over here, and like you and our buddy Scott, they're like, "The kid was doing it," and he got in the little kid's face, and then there was a big cup of
so, dance competition.
Dance, yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he
started
did
twerking.
Impromptu twerk off.
In the kid's face. He was twerking in the kid's face.
Yeah. F that kid.
Yeah.
All right. So that's going to be fun.
Was it ACH's nephew or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ACH's family. Yeah. Little nephews and stuff. Yeah. That's who
they
the
got
kids
it
were.
For free.
Yeah. Yeah. Front row. Right in front of us, too. All right. So that's going to be fun. Tune in next week. Tell all your friends. I guess that's it for us. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Please pass the butter!
What? What are you talking about? I don't even want
to
know.
I think what he's trying to say is pop culture.
Toodles!
Wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.